Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see each one of you. We're grateful for your presence. We're here for the purpose of glorifying God. And I know that He loves us, and we're showing our love for Him by being here this morning to honor Him and give Him the glory that is rightfully His. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Mark chapter 9. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading verse 42 of that passage. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 through 16. I like my salt. I don't mind telling people I like my salt. In fact, I may come to your house and you may have salted it, the food, abundantly. And Cynthia might say to me and poke me, or she'll even say at the house, I put plenty of salt on. But just for whatever reason, there's just something about turning that salt shaker up and giving it just a tad more seems to be the thing to do. And so I like my salt. I also know that when in the military, that when we were on strenuous maneuvers, that the doc that we had with us, our little pharmacist, he always carried salt pills, and he'd come around about midday or somewhere during the day and give us all a salt tablet, because he said that we had lost so much salt in our maneuvers and movings and such like that we needed to have extra salt. And so I don't know if they still do that, but it was a regular thing that they did for us when we were out of station or when we were out maneuvering. And so I like salt. And, you know, every once in a while, you may touch your hand to your mouth if you've been real busy and you have a salty taste. It comes from your person. Or have you ever kissed your mate who has been out busy and they taste a little salty, or a child or such like? Now, I don't know how much salt we need. I'm not a physician, so I don't know how much salt we ought to have every day. But there is a certain amount in which we should have in order to keep our bodies as it needs to be. Now, some of you may know, and it's interesting that from time to time that doctors will say yay and nay about that, but I'm telling you, I'm having my salt. And if you're out of salt, then that sort of bothers me. I'm going to ask for it when I go to restaurants and things like that. I'm also reminded of the Dead Sea. And I found a picture of all the salt that was around it. And there's nothing else in there but salt. I mean, salt kills everything. If you want, it'll melt ice. I like to have salt in the wintertime to get rid of the ice. There's so many things in which salt can be used for. Salt Lake City, Utah. If you've ever been up around that area, you see the salt in the lakes that are up there. So, why salt? Well, because of what the Scripture says. And again, as I ask you to turn to Mark 9, and there beginning with verse 42. Mark 9, beginning with verse 42. Now, the context has been, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And it seems that they were discussing who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus takes a little child and sets before them and says that one who becomes as a little child, that He is the greatest. Beginning with verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Can you visualize that? Of taking someone and tying a millstone around them and throwing them into the sea. It would be better for that to happen to you than to offend one of the children of God, be they young or be they old, but in particular, the children are under discussion here. But whoever shall cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands go to hell and to the fire that shall be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame
rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. I found it interesting that Larry, I thought, stay over that, Larry. Don't get too much involved in that. That's what I'm going to talk just a brief moment. It's amazing sometimes how we get into each other's subjects, but that's because we use the same book. I don't think he's literally saying cut your hand off, pluck your eye out, and all of that. He's showing the importance of living a good life and not sinning before God. And that's the importance of it, is that don't use your eyes, don't use your feet. You know, we sing that song, be careful little feet where you go, be careful little eyes, be careful little hands, all of that as youngsters. And we teach that to our young children, but sometimes we may not keep it in our own life where we allow our eyes. You know, several months ago we talked about prayer and how we talked about before your husband left home or your wife left home, your children left home, that you'd pray for their eyes. You remember that sermon? You'd pray for their eyes. You'd pray for their ears. You'd pray for their feet. You'd pray for their hands. You'd pray especially if you have a husband or wife or a child that may have some difficulty in a particular area with one of those parts of their body, that you might want to say, Lord, be with them as they look today. Be with them, and so on and so forth. So they were familiar with salt in the first century. They understood that it was a seasoning. They understood also that it was to be used for health reasons. And we understand it to be a preservative, a flavoring, as well as a purifying element. Almost every home show that you watch where they're cooking, somewhere along the way, they'll say, put a little dab of salt in it, or put an abundance of salt, depending on how big the thing happens to be. And I grew up where we cured country ham with salt. Somebody asked me what kind of ham you want, I'm going to say, give me the country ham. Now, that means I'm going to be drinking water the rest of the day, but there's just something about good old country ham and red-eye gravy that just seems to go a long way on a piece of biscuit. So we understand these things. Jesus said, though, that if salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of man. That's one of our memory verses in Matthew chapter 5 and there verse 13. As children of God, we don't want to become useless. We don't want to lose our saltiness. We want to be useful in the kingdom of God. And that's really what the discussion is here in this particular passage of Mark chapter 9. That you are to be useful, you are to be like good salt and have an impact upon the people that are around about us. We need to realize that we are, now I want you to see that, in the text, he says that you are the salt of the earth. It also encourages us to maintain that saltiness. And also, it tells us that we are to be salt to those that are around about us. Now, we understand the importance of salt. We understand exactly what the Lord is saying here in Mark chapter 9 as well as in Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see that it says you are the salt. Some things that don't come out that emphatic, but Jesus says here in the text, ye are salt. Not that they were to become salt, but that they are. And as we're going to get into the context of whom Jesus is speaking, particularly to the apostles, as they were salt of the earth, you and I are salt of the earth. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that particular salt again. Again, emphasizing you are the salt of the earth. In other words, The earth needs what you've got. Are you with me? The world needs what you've got. Now, there's a lot of things that you have I don't want. We had a couch years ago that someone had given us, and it was over 100 years ago. And it was really a beautiful couch. And a woman came in, she said, I wouldn't have that in my house at all. Well, we didn't ask her to have it in her house. I mean, we liked it because, number one, it was free. I'm good for free. It was free, and guess what? You could sit on it and have a good seat. You could enjoy sitting there. Now, there were some couches years ago I went to see my aunt that I didn't want to sit on because I was afraid it was going to leave a print of me sitting there. She was just that particular. So there are a lot of things, again, that you have I don't want, but there are some things that I want from you. And one of the things that I need from you is that I need to know that you are salt and that your saltiness is going to help me. And that what I have is salt that's going to help you as you as well. You are the salt of the earth. Now, let's go on and look at that. You know, we need to understand that Jesus said, first of all, to his disciples, as they came to him on the mountain, he said that you are the salt of the earth. So oftentimes we spend a lot of time emotionally, physically, and spiritually trying to become what God says you already are. You as a Christian, you are salt for the earth or to the earth. And again, we try to become something that we already are. We just got to recognize. Sometimes we need to recognize who we are. How would you define? I'm here to tell you, most of us would not define ourselves as salt, would you? Would you say you are salt? Would you tell people that you're the salt of the earth? But yet, that's exactly what Jesus said to the apostles. Sometimes we feel we compare ourselves to others and feel defeated because we become envious of other people's talent and what they can or what they cannot do. Here, God tells us, as we continue to look at this, that God has a purpose for every one of us in our lives. You are not without purpose. He told them that they were the salt of the earth. And we need to open our eyes to every opportunity that we have to share our lives with others. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. When you look at the physical body, I'm glad I've got two arms. I'm glad I've got two legs. I'm glad I've got a mouth. I'm glad I've got ears. I'm glad all the parts are here and functioning. At least to some degree. I'm glad I've got what I got. And my hand can't say to the eye, hey, Tom, how's your eyes? Better, right? Tom had cataract surgery like myself, and he can see you now better than what he could see you before. And in so doing, it helps the rest of his body. When our parts of the body are everything that they can be, then it helps the physical body. As a Christian, when we recognize where we are and who we are and our purpose here upon this earth, then we can be of value in the kingdom of God. Again, God has a purpose for each one of us, but sometimes Satan tempts us into thinking and saying, well, if I only had, I could be a lot greater influence, I could be a lot saltier if I had a different job, if I had different co-workers, if I had a different boss, man, I tell you, I could be effective if. And believe it or not, sometimes people come along and say, if I had a different wife, or if I had a different husband, if I had different parents. In other words, they're not satisfied where they are. And you know, if you're not in a situation that is as favorable as it would like, as you would like for it to be, then why not pray to God that he helps you to be all that you can be, where you are, where you are. You need to understand that we need to give God control of our lives. If I were to,
and I am asking, how much control does God have over your life on a daily basis? Or do you think about giving God control of your life on a daily basis? Or is it just on Sunday morning, oops, it's Sunday, I got to get to the building? Is that the only time we really give thought to the fact of letting God have control of our lives? And where he has placed us in the kingdom to let us be all that we can be in the kingdom. We quote a great deal, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the idea there is, of course, letting God rule over you. You know, we always talk about, and I've got a picture, I didn't go searching for it, of a man looking over a fence, looking over on the other side of the fence saying, I wished I had that grass for my cows. Sometimes we can get so busy looking outside of ourselves that we don't really look where we are. I liked what Reuben Amador said when discussing 1 Thessalonians with us. He said, they had to realize that they were at Thessalonica, and it was Thessalonica where they had to do their work. What we need to understand is that we are the salt of the earth at Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Why? Because we're in Lawrenceburg, Franklin, or surrounding areas. This is where we are. We need to understand that we can work where we are. And there's so much that we can do if I'm willing to get the job done. I'm living in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Some of you are in school at Bowling Green. Some of you are in and out at different places in Lexington. Wherever you put this physical body, then use it as God would want you to use it. Again, because he has a purpose for every one of us, and the green is grass on our side of the fence. Out on Mays Road, on Wheaton Drive, Winchester, wherever it is, the grass is green, and I can be a salt of the earth for this area. It tells me that I need to maintain my saltiness. This destroys the doctrine of once saved, always saved. The very text itself is telling us that. I need to maintain what I am. I am salt. Now, can you get that in your head? You are salt. And you got to maintain that saltiness. That's what he was saying to his disciples. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, then it is no value whatsoever. Maintain the saltiness means that we need to walk daily with Christ. We sing the song sometimes, just a closer walk with thee. Ephesians 5 deals time and time again with the subject of walk. Walk is activity. In Genesis 5 verse 21 and there through 24 it says, Enoch walked with God. And later it says he was translated, he walked with God. What does that mean? It means he was actively involved with God. How actively are you, or how actively involved am I on a daily basis with God? I need to make it my goal to work with all of my heart, working for the Lord. Sometimes we get to talking about, well, I've got to work in order to make a living. There's a difference in working for the Lord and then having a job to make money. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and there verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. You can read the verses before and after as it deals with servants.
We are not individuals that only do it when somebody's watching us. We want to be salty. We want to prepare ourselves physically, emotionally, and mentally to stay alert, maintaining our saltiness. We need to know what our limitations are and requirements in order to operate at peak performance every day. I listen sometimes as people began to get older and they talk about what they're no longer able to do. Now, there are some of you in here, I would not suggest that you get on a ladder anymore. You may think you can do it, but you're probably going to fall off of it. In fact, I just had a note from someone the other day that they had fallen off a ladder. Just things you can't do anymore. Know what your limitations are. But then sometimes we put limitations on ourselves that ought not to be there. I can't, I can't. Sometimes I can't says I won't. Larry mentioned in class, you know, that one of these days is going to be the end. One of the days, it's going to be our last day. And so actually this context is telling us that every day that I live, I need to be filled with salt. I don't want to lose my saltiness. I've got to be all that I can be. What can I be today? I can be all that I can be. It's like a sermon after it's through. It's done. That hopefully, for whatever reason, that was the best I could do that day. Could it have changed? Maybe so. But that's the best I could do that day on that sermon at that time. Whatever it might be. Know who you are. Know what you can accomplish. And understand that you're already salt of the earth. He didn't say to his disciples, you're going to become salt. He said, you are salt. From the day that you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, understand there's something that you are, there's something that you've got to maintain, and the text says in this particular thought is that we must maintain our saltiness. How you doing? Young and old alike. How are we doing? Those of us who are older in the faith, we need to show to the young people what saltiness is all about. And how they can be filled with salt, be the salt rather, every day that they live because we're striving to be all that we can be. You parents with your children, let them see saltiness in you. Let them see the value in you because of who you are. Sometimes I hear parents say, well, my children be better than me. Most of the time they're not going to be. Sometimes we lose our children because they did not see saltiness in us when they needed to see it. We did not maintain our saltiness. When salt is no value, it says you might as well throw it out and trod on it by the foot of man. Now, he's not encouraging anyone to become saltless. He wants them to maintain their saltiness. He wants them to be of value. Learn who you are. Who am I? You're saying about being the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. The world needs what you've got. Whether you're playing basketball, or football, or baseball, building a house, digging a ditch. We need to be something that people can see. And that brings me to my next point. And that is salting those who are around us. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I have a relationship with so many different people, including yourselves. You have a relationship with people outside of the kingdom, people outside of this local congregation. We need to take advantage of every opportunity to counsel with Scripture those that we come in contact with. Look at Ephesians 4 and there verse 29, where it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer." Be careful with your mouth. And everything that comes out of your mouth, let it be edifying. Let it be of value to those who are going to hear what you've got to say. Look at verse 6 of Colossians chapter 4. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." In order for me to know how to answer someone, I've got to have something in which to say when I answer them. I've got to be filled with saltiness. Again, my speech needs to be that which has something to say. Conversation seasoned with salt will have a purifying and healing impact. You said anything bad this last week? Is there anything that you have said this week that you would be ashamed if I had a recording? There was a game that used to be played. I don't know if they do it anymore, that somebody would come in and they would sneak a recorder under a chair, under a table, and then they'd let it run for about 30 minutes. And then after 30 minutes into that party, they would take it out and play it back. Did you have any conversation this week that you would not want to be played by? In reference to how you treated your mate, how you treated your parents, how you treated those that you work with, those that you walk with. Our speech must be seasoned with salt. We must have a purified speech so that those around about us will understand that who we live for is Christ and that we are truly salt. Not trying to become. Sometimes we can be so busy trying to become, we don't accomplish a thing. We fail to recognize who we already are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there beginning with verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain," that is empty, "but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it deceit. But as we have been approved by God," man, I tell you, Larry, that's what we were talking about this morning, being approved of God. That's what I long for. Be approved of God. "Workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I want God's approval. When this lesson is over, even though God's not going to come down and say, "Good lesson, David," I would want to believe that he'd say that. "Good worship, brethren." You didn't sleep halfway through the sermon. You weren't thinking on different things, but you were really worshiping me. "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as men please, or not pleasing men, but God who tested our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as nursing mothers cherish her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preached to you the gospel of God. What I see in that passage is a joyful man. I see a joyful man preaching the gospel of God. And I like what he tells us is that he sought to be approved of God. He was entrusted with the gospel. That's what every preacher needs to learn, is that they have been entrusted with the gospel of God, and that it is the gospel of God that men need to hear. Some of this weak kneed jellyfish preaching that's going on today wouldn't get a fly to change direction. We need men who stand firm as the Apostle Paul did. And as Paul said, not only do we impart the gospel of God, but you can see it evident in our lives. We can't just run around individually and say, I'm salt of the earth, I'm salt of the earth, and it not being seen. There comes the application of what we have learned and what we have studied. We can give the people the gospel. They can hear it. But they need to see it evidenced in our lives. If we lose our saltiness, they will not see Christ in us. Paul said that he magnified Christ in his body, Galatians 2 and 20. In other words, when you saw Paul, you saw Christ. On a daily basis, what everyone needs to see is that they need to see God in Christ in us. Not just the message, but the message being lived. Daily. Ye are the salt of the earth. Are again. Not might become. You are. For the day that you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it was at that point that you took on a position. And the position is that you are the salt of the earth. You have something to offer the people. What you have to offer is Christ Jesus. And his example is seen in you. As the Apostle Paul said, be ye therefore followers of me as I also am. Christ's life is evident in my life. It is not me that you see Christ. Faithful children of God are to the human race what salt is to food. We are the element that preserves the Word of God from corruption and our lives from corruption. We have something that the world needs. How we do it? How we doing? I think some days we do rather well. Other days, we may not. But I hope and pray we understand the importance of being who you are, the salt of the earth. If by chance you have lost your saltiness, and there may be some in here who have. If you've lost your saltiness, what you need to do is repent and ask God to forgive you. And once again be who you are and who God expects you to be. There are those in our assembly that are not Christians. That means that you're lost. You're lost because of sin. You have not accepted the work of being salt of the earth as a gift. Why? Because you're in sin. And you need to learn that, and that when you're in sin, you have no relationship with God. He doesn't live where sin is. That this is the morning that you'll repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, be buried with Him, having your sins washed away, and as soon as you are, you are an element that can help the world. Salt flavors. Beloved, be who you are. Be what you are. And I guarantee you, when you are, all is well. It's good. Think of that as you stand there.